God didn't create man with sin, and the devil didn't make man do it. Adam, representing man, subjected himself willingly to sin. Man was created in the image of God. He was good, he was just, he was holy. Theologians often call that original righteousness. But Adam listened to the lie of Satan, the father of lies, and he didn't believe God, and he didn't obey God, and he fell. As the confession says, he transgressed the covenant of life which he had received. God had said, you remember, God had said, on the day you eat of it, you will surely die. And when Adam ate, he died. He died that very day. He died spiritually. His sin separated him from God. And that was death. The worst kind of death. Spiritual death. Confession says, by his sin he separated himself from God, who was his true life, having corrupted his entire nature. He died spiritually, Ephesians 2:1. Physical death comes much later for Adam, much later as a result of the fall and the curse, where he will return to the ground, return to the dust from which he was made. Adam died spiritually. His whole nature died, was corrupted. And now that passed on to all posterity. That passed on to all the earthly family. Adam, to all born of him. But right now we're just looking at the sin and misery of Adam that he brought on to himself and his corruption. We call the corruption of his whole nature total depravity. Every part of man, however you break him up, is now corrupted, polluted, sinful, depraved. His body and spirit, his heart, his mind, his thoughts, emotions, will, etc. And so he made himself guilty, subject to physical and spiritual death, having become wicked, perverse, and corrupt in all his ways. Now Adam, at this time, still bears the image of God, and so do we. But it's grossly distorted after the fall. It's corrupted in every way. And that's the confession describes it like this. He lost his excellent gifts, which he had received from God. He retained none of them except for small traces, which are enough to make him inexcusable. Probably thinking there of Romans 1, where Romans 1 says that man knows God. And yet, even with all that knowledge, he spirals into a darker and darker contemplation and rejects God and creates false gods. And it's an amazing thing that after the fall, right after the fall in Genesis 3, it says Adam's eyes are opened, right? And yet what? He's blind. There's a spiritual blindness now. He's so blind and so ignorant that though he senses something deeply wrong, something has changed, he still cannot understand it. And that comes to us very vividly in that he sows a fig leaf. He sows fig leaves to cover his nakedness, as though nakedness in itself was the problem, as though it was wrong. Now he's naked and ashamed, but he wasn't before he sinned. He was naked in Genesis 2:25 and not ashamed. Now he is ashamed. Nakedness hasn't changed. Something within has changed, something deeper, right? And he thinks, if he can just cover his nakedness, maybe all will be all right. And you see there, don't you? The first reaction of fallen man, corrupted man. There's a denial. There's an attributing the problem to something else. Spiritual blindness. And it's really the first thing that men do today. When man denies the problem, or he deals with it in superficial ways, external ways, unregenerate man can't really understand the problem. He's not facing the real problem. He's not facing the source of the problem. And neither is Adam. That he's rebelled in his heart from God. That he has a new nature, a corrupted new nature. Sin has separated him from God. Sinful nature. Now listen, we need to realize this. That all mankind, right? All mankind are Adam's heirs. And we're all mankind, unregenerate, of course, have that corrupt nature. Sinful nature is passed on. And even for the redeemed, this is why we need to understand it. We still battle the leftovers, if you will, this remaining tendency. We still have the sinful nature, in fact. We are being recreated into the image of Christ, but there's still the old man, the Scripture talks about, and the battle that we have with the old man. There's still a fight, a great fight. Mankind without Christ has no capacity to overcome that. But even Christians need to be aware, right? What I have often called the fig leaf solution, that we mask the problem instead of dealing with it. The whole human race without Jesus is in denial, total denial of the problem. And they're masking the problem completely. What do they mask it with? What is the fig leaf solution today? False religion? Psychotherapy? Substance abuse? Drugs? Prescribed or not? Relationships? They mask the problem with relationships. Try to compensate. They try to cover it with money or power or a job or career, etc. These are fig leaf solutions. They try to cover, they try to cope. And as Christians, we can do that to a lesser degree. As Christians, we're not under the dominion of sin. That is, we can see the problem, and we can see the problem better than the lost, of course, but we can, instead of seeking Christ and seeking the Word, we can seek worldly solutions too. And it's not that we seek our eternal salvation in them, unless we're false disciples. Unless we're only using religion and church attendance and as a band-aid, as a fig leaf. I'm just pointing out that for Christians, whenever we don't really deal with the heart issue, with the real issue, the sin issue, then we are going to be greatly hampered in our walk. And it's just going to be a fig leaf solution. It will hurt our relationship with God. We must find our riches and our power in Christ and not in the world at all. But to go back to Adam here, he thinks that the fig leaf will cover up his problem. He didn't see it was sin. He didn't see it was breaking God's law. He didn't see that it was a ruined relationship with God. But now all the wonderful gifts that Adam had are corrupted, sinful, polluted. I mean, it is really just to sit, stand back and consider, you know, Genesis 1 through 3 and man made in the image of God, the pinnacle of creation, and how far he's fallen. He thinks a fig leaf will suffice. Well, he didn't see. He didn't see because darkness has pervaded his very soul. Confession says, moreover, all the light in us is turned to darkness, as the Scripture teaches. And now the Scripture reveals, since we're in Adam, since Adam's our representative, this has passed down to all of us. We are also his descendant by generation. Moreover, all the light in us is turned into darkness, as the Scripture teaches. The light shone in darkness, and the darkness did not receive it. Here John calls men darkness. That's from John 1. Man's nature is so darkened that in spite of all the light of the image of God still in him, and all the light of creation outside of him, man can't receive it. And this is the word in John 1 where it was used, actually it was used for a runner in the Olympics. In the Olympics races, seizing the prize, grasping, literally grasping it. And a man can't lay hold of the light. And so he soaks fig leaves. And he does crazy things, as hiding from God in the garden he made. Isn't that what men do? They're hiding in the world that God made. Can't understand self, he can't understand God. What a sad, sad picture of fallen man, darkness. You know, the Bible includes so many other biblical pictures, biblical descriptions of man's depravity, blindness, deaf, lost, diseased, paralyzed, weak, powerless, and death. Death, we mentioned that. Spiritual death. Death is as bad as it gets, right? That's pretty bad. If you're dead, you don't respond. If you're dead, if you're spiritually dead, you don't respond to God. You can't respond to God. You can't be, I'll put it this way, you can't be more powerless than death, right? And that is the I think what the confession is emphasizing. Man's fallen nature, it's emphasizing it's unable and incapable of doing anything pleasing to God now, much less having any way of correcting the problem or saving itself. Man can't save himself. And therefore, the confession rightly attacks the very false but very persistent, proud human teaching that man has free will. And the confession reminds us that Adam in the fall became enslaved without a way to free himself. He's enslaved. And so is every human being born save Jesus Christ. He was born of the woman and born of the Holy Spirit. Confession says we reject everything taught to the contrary concerning man's free will. That means we reject the teaching of free will. Since man is nothing but the slave of sin and cannot do a thing unless it is given him from heaven. So, we're not really free. God has to work in us. God has to save us. Adam became a slave, and so did we in Adam. His children are born into slavery. But the point is, Adam couldn't do anything about it. And we couldn't either. Such is our sin and misery, such is our sinful nature, such is our total depravity, such is our darkness, such is our pervasive weakness. We can't know God, much less come to Him. We can't do that in ourselves. I love how the confession just brings, in a rapidly and in a repeated and machine gun kind of way, brings the Scripture to bear on this. For who can boast of being able to do anything good by himself, since Christ says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Are there exceptions to that? No one. Who can glory in his own will? And it means to boast here. Who can boast in his own will that he understands? You see, there's some people that go around and say, well, I'm so glad that I understood. And we are glad we understood, but why did we understand? Because God did this. God showed us. But I fear sometimes people are saying, well, I understood. You need to understand. No, they can't understand. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity against God. Romans 8:7. You can't boast in being more intelligent. You can't boast in being so wise that you comprehended. That is arrogance. That's pride. Sinful pride. Who can speak of his own knowledge in view of the fact that, quote, the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God? The natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. In short, who can produce a single thought, says the confession, since we know that we are not able to think a thing about ourselves, by ourselves, but that our ability is from God. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says this, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. That's where that comes from. Our sufficiency is from God. Our capability is from God. Salvation is the work of God. And man becomes a Christian by the work of God. God reveals our sin to us. God reveals our real problem. We wouldn't see it. We can't blame our nakedness. We can't blame the externals. We can't blame the environment. We can't blame God's creation. We can't blame our wives. We can't blame our husbands. We can't blame the devil. And we can't blame Adam and Eve. God reveals our sin. He reveals our need. He reveals who Jesus is. And so He opens up the understanding of our minds. He enlightens our hearts. He makes Jesus beautiful to us by His Spirit. He shows us that the only way is Jesus Christ. It's all His work. He works in us to repent and believe. It's the work of God through the Son. As Jesus said, John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Man is totally depraved. He is unable to do any spiritual good. Praise God for Jesus' work and His sacrifice and His substitute. Man tries to cover his sin as if he could. You know, it is a very sad thing, and people don't like us sometimes talking about sin. They don't like us talking about man's inability. But if we just ignore that, we are leaving them in this fig leaf fog, aren't we? That they can be okay if they just cover over their sin. No, man is blind. What does God do? He does what man cannot do. He covers, in the Genesis account, what did He do? He covered them with animal skins. Right? In other words, even then, by the first animal death, God was teaching there must be a substitute that only He can provide. God must give it. And it anticipates Jesus Christ. A sacrifice was made. And Jesus bore our sins on the cross. And we are clothed with His righteousness. And our sin is covered by Him. That's our only hope. Let's pray. Father, we confess with all humility and really an awful sense of the terrible sin and misery we were in. That we were entirely lost and we could do nothing about it. We were guilty and corrupt. And all we can do is thank You for what You have done for us. and giving us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to believe, you granted that we would turn and repent. And we take no pride. We do not look upon our fellow lost man with any pride or arrogance, but rather with pity. But we offer to you such gratitude for what you've done. And thank you for saving such lost sinners as us. Thank you for Jesus Christ and covering us with him. It's in his precious, holy name we pray. Amen.